22 of Romans chapter 8, and the Apostle Paul says this: "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies." Let me tell you, first of all, starting out, this sermon is going to end optimistically, okay? So we go through a little bit dark stuff to get there. In old-time photography, the methods of old-time photography before the digital age, they had to deal with the negative in order to get the positive, you see. You had to go to the dark room before you could come out with the picture. Okay, so that's what we're going to do today, is we're going to deal with the negative. We're going to go.
Wonderful change in my life has begun since Jesus came into my heart. I have grown in my soul, for as long I have sown since Jesus came into my heart.
That may sound like an oddness of the world, but really
Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart.
indications of the drought. The ground, if you will, David was telling me about it. He went back home to Coleman the other day on his dad's place, and the ground was cracking and open up as if really to say, I need a drink. You see, it's groaning. On many of the trees, the leaves will begin to turn yellow on the trees and shrivel up, saying, hey, I'm under great stress. I need a drink. You see, it's groaning.
I'll be introducing
it's
them in just a moment.
It's all a part of the groaning of God's creation. I like to read books. I've got stacks of books beside my bed.
You're going to enjoy them if you've never been here.
And I like to read about history's catastrophes.
And if you have been here, you're also in.
Here's a sampler of the children's blizzard of 1888, the Galveston hurricane of 1900, the Dust Bowl days, of course, of 1930s, Jonestown flood, 1889, the Hinckley fire of 1894, the shipwreck of the Essex in 1820, and on and on the list goes. These things I've read about him, and I'm intrigued by it, but all of these type of events
that you read, get it in your plans. You'll never be
these tragedies speak of the vulnerability of man.
With that being said, we want to give these guys
the power
plenty of
God,
time. And so we'll
but
go
also
ahead and go,
they
to
speak
the Lord in a word of prayer, and then I'll introduce
of the curse
these guys
of the world.
To you right quick. Brother
you
Terry,
see,
second,
the Scripture tells us that we're under a curse. Ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, the result of that was a cursed creation. And our text tells us here that we just read a moment ago, the whole creation groans. The whole thing.
Amen.
That
me
means that to some extent, everything that was created
I know
is subject
some new faces
to the
here.
Curse. Now, does that mean that everything ends in disaster?
Some return
no,
visitors.
That doesn't mean
we're
that at all.
Here.
It just means that we're creation is
with
prone.
I want you to,
hardship,
this is Bobby Lee and Annette. Most
to
of you know him. Bobby Lee,
some
I want
trees
you to watch
bear fruit.
They're so talented. He's got more talented in his pinky. Than
some animals are domesticated
and
friendly, and
hour,
some animals
watch,
are wild and very
attention.
Dangerous. Well, some ground is fertile and will bring forth
him,
crops.
He's on that
and
keyboard.
The ground is very
he's wrestling with a box of Kleenex,
nothing.
Getting a Kleenex.
Some
out.
Clouds produce
nose,
steady rain.
Pop, plays with the tablet.
Produce hailstorms, yeah. Tornadoes, and high winds.
I mean, and never miss a note.
Peach and apricot, apricot
and
apple trees may be loaded with fruit one year.
It's just so good.
And then a late freeze.
Warm welcome.
Next year, and they have no fear. You see, it's not saying that everything's bad all the time. It's just saying that everything that God created is subject to hardship. It's subject to the curse. And you get the picture, I think. You see the groaning I'm talking about. In the Garden of Eden, there was no calamity. There was no pain. There was no hardship. There was no groaning. Everything was the way that it should be. But the serenity and the safety and the simplicity of the garden was all forfeited when man chose to rebel against God's authority. So the world groans under that rebellion now. It groans under the curse. When God made Adam and Eve, when he put them out of the garden, they stepped out of paradise and they stepped into what can sometimes be hell. Sometimes. Because from that day forward, mankind, from day to day, does not know what he's going to get that day. You see, it wasn't that way in the garden. You see, a beautiful sunrise at 6 a.m. might lead to scorching 110-degree heat at 3 p.m. A day that's full of wonder and adventure and enjoyment can end as a night of crisis and tragedy. We just don't know. You see, it groans. Think about the social upheaval that results from the curse. Every war, every act of genocide, every crime, every injustice, all of that is a result of the curse. We groan. You see, man being a sinner, he can commit some hideous, horrendous acts. Not a day goes by that we do not get news of a murder or a sexual assault or human trafficking. And folks, there's something about human trafficking. I mean, it's all bad things are bad, but it's just hard for me to grasp. Trafficking human beings. That's vile. That's evil. You see, that is the product of fallen man. We see footage of bombings overseas somewhere, and even the war that we're talking about there in Ukraine, and all of this, and it's all a product of fallen man and his choices and decision. So the whole creation groaneth. But I want you to notice what it goes on to say in verse 22. He says, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. That word travail is a term that's used in Scripture relating to childbirth. Many or most of you adult ladies have had that experience. To my understanding, there's a tremendous amount of pain involved with giving birth to a child. And ladies, my heart goes out to you. It's not, if it were up to men to have children, the human race would be extinct. We're just not tough enough, okay? I can barely pluck a splinter out of my finger, let alone pluck a human being. You know? So if it's up to us men, we'd be in trouble, okay? Ladies, it's childbirth is horrible. Not childbirth. The pain is horrible, to my understanding. And there's a couple of things we need to think about that. With a woman's childbirth, the pain is not continuous. It's intermittent. It's in conjunction with the contractions that she has. So she may be stricken by pain for a moment and get a little bit of relief for a few moments. I made the point just a few minutes ago, that the world is very similar. It's not all pain. Oftentimes we have some very smooth sailing. And then we turn around, we have a storm. And then a storm blows by, and if we've survived it, then we'll have a little more smooth sailing. You see, it's intermittent, the pain is. The other thing about childbirth, let me just get this out of the way. No, I don't need your Coke. Or your Kleenex. The other thing about childbirth that we have to understand is the birthing process as it approaches the end, the time of delivery, the contractions and the episode of pain get closer together, do they not? There's a more rapid pattern. You see, it's intermittent, but it becomes closer and closer till right there at the end. And as that it becomes more frequent, the pain becomes more frequent, it also increases in intensity. So in a nutshell, the travail gets greater the closer the lady gets to delivery. You know, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonians about the end times and the coming of the Lord, he says that the destruction will come upon man as travail upon a woman. So you and I certainly should not be shocked when the contractions, if you will, and the pain starts happening more often and becomes more intense. See, what is it telling us? We're getting a little closer to delivery. We're getting a little closer to the end. It's more frequent. It's more intense. There's a war here. That's a birth pain. There's a pandemic here. That's a birth pain. There's a epidemic of drug use and prescription drug, birth pain. Economic crisis, birth pain. Civil unrest, birth pain. Racial tensions, birth pain. You see, boom, 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 boom. God's creation groans and travails in this pain. And so it all seems pretty negative. As I said just a few moments ago, it doesn't sound good, but there's more to the story than just the calamity and the groaning and the pain. What does a pregnancy lead to? A delivery. It leads to a delivery. Is there anything more joyful than delivery of a newborn child? It's wonderful. When it finally happens, it's wonderful. Jesus speaks of this truth in the book of John. I'll read these verses to you. Verse 21, he says, it says, a woman when she is in travail has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered, watch this, as soon as she's delivered the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for the joy of a man being born into the world. He's saying the pain and the travail, if you will, the groaning will suddenly stop and be replaced with something that's so joyful that the anguish of the process will be forgotten. Folks, with that all being understood, you need to know that something positive lies ahead. We're going to be delivered. There's going to be a delivery. In fact, the Bible tells us that heaven and earth, it all will be delivered one day. 2 Peter 3:13 says, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." You see, that's what we're waiting on. Revelation chapter 22, verse 3 says, "There shall be no more curse there." This curse will not last forever. There will come a day when all things will become new. Jesus goes on in chapter 16, John chapter 16, verse 22, and He says, "Now, therefore, you have sorrow." Right now, we're going through the sorrow, the groaning, if you will, the birth pains. But He says, "I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take away." You have a heavy heart this morning? You getting tired? Discouraged? Jesus says, it's going to be that way for a while. There's going to be some groaning. But there will come a day when that groaning and that sorrow is gone and your heart will rejoice. And He says, there's not anybody going to be able to take that away from you. Before I close and send you on your way, let's look at verse 22 again. The Scripture tells us this. It says, you know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. But He says, that's not it. Watch this, verse 23. "And not only they, but we ourselves," talking about us human beings that have the first fruits of the Spirit, "even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption," to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Jesus says, not only does creation groan, but we as individuals groan. You know, we don't have to look very far in our life to see the evidence of groaning. Do you ever have a toothache? Sure. Groaning. You ever have gravity catch you by surprise? Sure. Groaning. Okay? Any number of examples I could give you, pain, discomfort, all of these reasons, there's endless numbers of reasons for groaning in our lives. And physical pain is not the half of it. If you've lived very many years at all, you know that emotional pain is far greater than any physical pain could ever be. A broken heart, anxiety, depression, fear, disappointment, hurt, betrayal, all those internal pains, those things that hurt you on the inside, they can be excruciating, and we groan within ourselves, the text says. We probably have at least a couple of hundred people in this auditorium this morning. If every person in here were an open book and could be read by those around them, it would be a tearjerker. The sadness that would be discovered, the amount of groaning that's behind these smiles and these eyes, we would be amazed. If we could see all of that, we would all probably change the way we deal with people. We would become far more merciful and more patient, and we would start cutting people some slack, you know what, if we knew those things. Life is a contact sport, it's been said. It's played in a sin-cursed world. So there's going to be injuries. There's going to be bumps. There's going to be bruises. You're going to get beat up. You're going to get knocked down. You're going to get stepped on and maybe kicked. And that's just the way it is. And it's going to be that way for a while. Until when? Notice the last part of chapter 23, verse 23. It says, till the redemption of our bodies. What does that mean? When you and I put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, our sins were forgiven, our souls were saved, redeemed, delivered. But guess what? Nothing new happened to our body. Same old body. So if I was a little scrawny, ugly guy when I got saved, then I'm just a saved, little, scrawny, ugly guy. You see? Nothing changed. Not in this world. Not in this life. The Word of God gives us the Spirit of God and begins to change us on the inside. And a lot of things can be accomplished through spiritual growth and the Word of God and all. But we're not going to get a new body in this life. So what does that mean? If we're living as redeemed people in unredeemed bodies, we're going to have a struggle. We're going to groan. We're going to groan within ourselves. I'm a good guy, but I'm trapped in here. So the good guy sometimes does bad things. That's the way it is. That means that we're going to have to deal with some appetites. We're going to have to deal with some tendencies that don't want to cooperate with God. I'm going to have some emotional and some mental turbulence along the way. And so are you. And it's going to make you groan. It's going to make me groan. The trials that have to be faced, the obstacles that have to be overcome, is just groaning, groaning, groaning. Until, as the Scripture says, the redemption of our body. So, you're having struggles this morning. You're going through some groaning, some sorrow, some calamity, some turbulent times. You're tired. You're give out. Many of you are. I know. You get disheartened. If we were to look across the page, and we're not going to take time to do that, but in chapter 7, it's a very interesting chapter that the Apostle Paul, in the last part of the chapter, begins to describe his struggle. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. This is one of the greatest men that there ever was. He helped pen much of the Bible. He's a great, tremendous man, but he tells his story in chapter 7 of the struggle he's in as a unredeemed, as a redeemed man in an unredeemed body. And when you read it, you're like, wow, Paul, you struggle like that? So do I. He basically says, I know what I ought to be doing, but I end up doing this instead. And I make a commitment to do this other thing for God, but then my desires override that commitment and I end up doing something else. That's basically paraphrasing what Paul's saying. In other words, he's saying, I should be doing this, but my selfishness makes me do that. And I should be patient and forgiving, but then I end up instead irritated and angry. Can you identify with Paul this morning? Have we grown within ourselves? It's a struggle. We live as redeemed people in an unredeemed body that walks in an unredeemed creation, and all that can amount to and all that can result in is a lot of groaning. So this morning, we realize the struggle that lies ahead of us. We realize why we have a lot of struggles this morning, because of our condition, our situation. But the whole thing leads to this. You and I have to stay hooked. Seek God, allow Him to strengthen us from day to day to stay in that battle, and we just got to wait for the delivery. But remember, as delivery approaches, the pain intensifies sometimes. It certainly becomes more frequent right before the delivery. What we see happening around us, Bobby Lee going to do our, okay, you do our invitation if you will. Or the music. As we see what's happening around us, when you see this tragedy and that tragedy, birth pain, remember? Birth pain, birth pain, birth pain, birth pain. You see, faster, more intense, the frequency and intensity will increase right before the delivery. I believe Jesus could come back any day. Do I think that it's gotten as bad as it's ever going to get? No, I sure don't. But how long you and I are going to be here for it, we don't know. The Lord's going to come get his church. We sang about it earlier. The Lord's going to come get his church. And what is that? Delivery. You know what? I'm going to wake up one of these days in the arms of Jesus. And I'm going to be shed of this wore out body that's unredeemed. And so are you. That's the delivery we're waiting for. I want to ask you to stand. Maybe you're here this morning. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You're living in an unredeemed body. And you also have an unredeemed soul. Friends, that's not the way you want to leave this world. Your soul's not redeemed. You won't go spend eternity with Jesus. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, God's spoken to you. You need to be saved this morning. I'll be standing right up front here. You just want to come pray at these altars? You just come on. God's spoken to your heart. You come. Will you watch and tell him? Right. This is one of these crazy Sackett boys right here. Let's turn around this way, big guy. All right. This is Cohen Sackett. And Cohen came and talked to me this last Wednesday, and he's been talking to his parents, want to know what it meant to be saved and baptized, and we got all that straightened out. He knows his Bible. He's been coming to church all his life, been coming to Sunday school quite frequently, and right where kids need to be, folks. And I'm proud of him. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, risen in the likeness of his resurrection. Bobby Lee, will you do a commercial real quick if you want to for your CDs?
Back there that has all 14 CDs for $40. Amen.
It's a blessing. I tell you what, why don't you work your way back to the table where you can get their money, okay? And while they're doing that, let me just give you a couple of announcements, guys. First of all, the mother-daughter banquet is on May the 6th. That's going to be on a Friday in the evening at 6 p.m., and they're going to have it down at the Kessel Building downtown, just something new we're doing this year. And so it's going to, ladies, it's, when we say mother-daughter, it doesn't mean you have to be a mother or a daughter. You just have to be a lady and a young lady. And so bring your family. It's $10 a person. They're selling tickets in the back. And the reason we do this is because we have to know how many people are going to be there, provide the catering, and keep it all going. Okay, so if you will pay as you sign up. If you can't sign up, if you can't pay today, then wait and sign up Wednesday night or next Sunday. So we want to kind of keep up where we can keep this all lined out, where we can get our caterers paid. And so the table is set up in the back for that. Last but not least, very important. Make up your mind this time next Sunday morning. You're going to be right here where you are right now. Brother David Strunk is going to be here. We're going to start our spring revival. He's going to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. Okay, we're not going to be doing a Wednesday evening service for the adults. It'll only be children. So we have those three nights in a row. If you've been here for Brother Strunk in the past, you know, and he is a good man and he is a good preacher, and you're going to have a good time, and God's going to speak to your heart. Okay, and so please, please, please plan on that. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Bobby Lee. It's fantastic. You guys are just as good as ever. Uglier, a little uglier you are, but you're as sing as good as ever. And Miss Annette just did great, and I'm sad that she's struggling with that recovery, but she'll be good next time, I'm sure. Let's go ahead and be dismissed in a word of prayer, and God bless you. Visitors, come back and see us, and thank you for worshiping with us, okay? Let's go ahead and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Let me see here. Cooper, lead us in prayer, please.